name is Tanya. I am part of the teaching team at Whitewater, and I am also part of the staff here. So that is, I'm indeed the person on the back of your bulletin. Can you guys hear me? Okay. So the other night, I was working on this teaching, and for those of you who have the opportunity to make presentations, my suggestion is that you not work on these things right before you go to bed, because what happens is then you have these very odd dreams. And so I was dreaming that I was trying to escape this deadly virus that was going around, you know, it was this side of making zombies out of all of you. And then I woke up from that, and I'm like, okay, I'm in my own bed. I'm good. I'm safe. I'm healthy. I went back to sleep and dreamed that, of course, I got up here, and I had forgotten my notes, and I was running all through the church, what looked remarkably like the Civic Center, which you haven't, if you haven't been there yet, you can wander through there for years and be lost and not find your office. And I wake up, and this is all very, very ironic to me, because the topic that we're talking about today is don't worry, be happy. Yay, all right. So obviously, a teaching on worrying is causing me a great deal of worry. People are asking me this morning, oh, how are you doing? And what do you say? Oh, I'm fine. I'm so worried. So it was a very odd feeling to be working on this. Now, I think that the phrase, don't worry, be happy, really is this trite Christian cliche. And we really aren't going to go completely that direction. We're going to put our own spin on it. So, since I can see that all of you do not have some horrible face-melting virus, and you can see I have my notes, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 4 through 9. Okay. This is where I think that this passage is where the cliche comes from, this whole don't worry, be happy thing. Because here's what it says. This is the New Living Translation. It says, always be full of the joy of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Okay. So Matt started talking about this a little bit last week, that this was a letter written to the Philippians. This was a town in Philippi. So we have Christians living in this Roman town. And the Christians were experiencing harsh, brutal persecution. It was obviously a worrisome time for them. So Paul's writing to them, and he wants to encourage them and remind them of who God is and what their future is. So we'll come back to that, but hold on to that. So remember that even though Philippians itself is a letter written to a specific people at a specific point in time for a specific reason, it is in the Bible. And that's why and how we are extracting these life lessons from it. So verse 4, always be full of joy. So as you know, as Christians, we are not supposed to be running around looking this lemon-faced, uber-pious, Dolores Umbridge sort of person, okay? But being full of joy does not also mean that we are always doing this happy dance at all times when life is hard, okay? We're finding our joy in God rather than circumstances, okay? Is this hard? Absolutely. All right, without a doubt. Am I always smiling? Am I always happy? No. All right. Ask me how happy I am when the car started making noises that sounded like fingernails on a blackboard and we were 2.5 hours away from Laramie. Or ask me how happy I was when we had our first cold spell and you go to turn the furnace on and you're going, it's warmer outside than it is in the house because my furnace isn't working. All right? This is not happy. But that's not the center of who I am in Christ. My relationship with God, my contentment, is not based on these transitory feelings of happiness. Okay? Rather, there's a foundation of joy. Knowing who God is at my core. So there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is celebrating a birthday with chocolate cake. All right? Joy is understanding God loves me. Happiness depends on external factors. All right? Happiness is me focused. What makes me happy? Am I happy today? Joy is internal. It's not based on external factors. It's based on expected outcomes. Joy is God-focused. So joy doesn't ignore hardship, right? We live in the real world. We have these real concerns, right? My car not working. My furnace not working. My kids. School, for some of us. Bills, mortgage. We live in the real world, and we have these concerns. But the joy is looking at God and our standing there. Joy gives us the ability to endure. So look at verse 5. It says, remember, the Lord is coming soon. So it's like this light at the end of the tunnel. It reminds the Philippians and it reminds us that our circumstances are temporary because there's this bigger picture than just the here and now. So then Paul goes on to say in verse 6, don't worry about anything. All right. That is, I think, feels impossible. How can we not worry about anything? Okay, so this is where this gets hard for me. I'm going to tell you guys something that I have never shared in a large group before, and I've really only told a few of my closest friends, and that is I have anxiety panic disorder. For me, it started in high school, and it continued to get worse until the point where I knew that if I didn't do something, I would be one of those people who never left the house. It took about 5 years to get to that point, to even get a name for it. My dad would call, when I was in high school, my dad called it that thing that you do. But all I knew is that I wasn't strong enough. I was too scared to do certain things. I felt anxious a lot. Almost all the time. So you've heard of people saying, you know, this verse, this is my life verse. Well, I claimed Philippians 4, 6, and 7 as my verse. And here's how it goes in the New International Version. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I prayed all the time. I did not want to be anxious. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to do normal things. I wanted to be able to go to movies. I wanted to be able to go out to eat. Okay, so this is all going on as I'm dating Lauren, as we're first married. I wanted to be able to go to Thanksgiving at the in-laws. All of those things. Those were things that I couldn't do. And I wanted that peace of God so badly. And sometimes I had it. Sometimes I could do these really big things. But I didn't understand why what I was feeling wasn't going away. You know, perhaps my faith isn't strong enough. You know, this mountain wasn't moving. But I'm here to tell you that for me, the peace of God has come through prayer, through counseling, through medication. That's how God gave me peace. I enjoy movies. I enjoy going out to eat just fine. I could do the grocery shopping, but I don't like to, so because Lauren does such a good job of it, but I could do it if I wanted to. But the thing is that what I want to share with you is that anxiety, heart disease, diabetes, depression, whatever it is that you're struggling with, it's not necessarily a faith issue. I heard it preached at church once, and it wasn't here. And I'm sorry, Larry. Counselors aren't needed. More faith is needed. Do I believe God could have reached down and cured my anxiety instantly? I absolutely believe that. I believe people are sometimes miraculously healed from all sorts of diseases, physical and mental. But God chose to have me walk a different path. I don't know why. Maybe it's to be empathetic to other people's struggles. Maybe it's to keep my focus on Him where it belongs. I don't know. I know that it's not easy. These things are not an over and done with sort of thing. And it's been a really minor issue for me for a number of years. Not gone, but not dominating my life. Until a couple of weeks ago. And interestingly enough, this is all happening about the time that I said, yes, I would be happy to teach a sermon on worry and anxiety. So mid-October, I go to Portland to visit my mom. I love my mom. We get along just fine. But there had been this whole month of things going on with her. And I was dreading this visit. Okay, I tried to go a few times a year to check on her, see how she's doing. I was so anxious when I left. And I think I was anxious the whole time I was there. In fact, I think the most calm thing I did was checking my bag for the return flight home. And that flight home was so peaceful. And that includes being stuck on the ground for almost an hour due to mechanical issues. And I'll have to tell you that is an amazing thing, because for me, a trigger is being trapped. So you trap me on an airplane with, 250 people? And I was calm. I was relaxed. Obviously, God was a big part of that. So understand that it's these things that we sometimes struggle with are not necessarily faith issues. Faith obviously plays a part. Okay, you may continue to struggle with it like I have for a long time and maybe the rest of your life. So giving it to God, when someone says, oh, just give it to God, that sounds so simplistic and unhelpful. But as Paul says in verse 6, in every situation, present your requests to God. It's not this one-time thing. We keep coming and we keep coming and we come back to God every time. So back to Philippians. So obviously, I volunteered to teach this passage because I had such strong feelings about verses 6 and 7. But I realized when I started digging that what I thought those verses meant was not quite right. Okay, some translations use the word anxious, some use the word worry. And Paul has something different in mind altogether. Okay, he did not see the Philippians as this group of people needing anti-anxiety medication. All right, he saw them as a group needing reassurance. So in this particular case, when he's saying, don't be anxious about anything, he's saying, look, I know the persecution is hard. Okay? This is difficult. This is something you should be praying about. But this peace of God that transcends all understanding, remember, the Lord is coming soon. This is not a forever situation. And he goes on to remind them to think about what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. All right, so this is what I think the lesson that we take away from this is that worry eats you up on the inside, okay? It gets you to the point where all you can think about is worry, whether or not you can impact it, okay? And I'm not talking about high-level anxiety, you need professional help or medicine or whatever, okay? We're talking about the everyday worries, like we talked about, rent, bills, kids, jobs, all of these real-world concerns that we have. We all have them. My worries and your worries are probably different. And we know that we all have these difficult circumstances that produce worry. But here's the thing with worry, is if your brain is tied up in knots, can you think of something else at the same time? Okay, try it. think of two different things at exactly the same point in time. All right? It's really hard. I mean, it's really, really hard to do. When I picture worry, I think of worry as like this octopus sitting on your brain. It's got all these tentacles wrapped around your brain and impacting all these areas of your life. And all you can think about is that worry, right? But the way we combat worry is with prayer. Where are we focusing our thoughts? If I am thinking on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, in other words, if I am thinking on God and thinking about what it is that He has done for me in the past, I am not thinking about my worries. The worry changes the focus from God to us. So we want to take that and move it back to God. We can't do it ourselves. That's what God does. And when we can do that, when I'm not focusing on the bad things that I have maybe some control over, maybe not, when I'm focusing on who God is, that's when that peace that transcends all understanding, as verse 7 says, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. The word guard here means fence or fortress. Okay, so the Hebrews thought of their heart as their center of their being, right? We talked about this last week, where the bad thoughts came out of your stomach. Well, your heart was the center of who you are. So in this verse, you can look at it as this peace of God, which goes beyond this human understanding, is setting up this barrier around my heart. It's going to keep out that evil octopus of worry. And this is what's difficult, and if you've felt it, you know it, but it's hard to imagine sometimes. This peace of God transcends all understanding. We don't see the world as God sees it. We never will. Okay? But it is enough to be able to rest there. Are we going to get the answers we want? Not necessarily. Maybe, maybe not. It's probably not the first time you've heard it said, God's ways are not our ways. And I find comfort in that. I find comfort in knowing God is bigger than who I am, that He can do more than I can do, and that He has the big picture. It's when we are faced with these things that we can't control that we begin to worry. And that's the time to remember that God is a big God and He has it under control. And that's where this peace comes from. So, in summary, this is my translation. This is what Paul told the Philippians. Look, you are in a really awful place and time. There's nothing you can do to change it. But you can pray. You can be thankful to God. You can think on things that are good to think about and not focus on the bad. And you can do this because God is with you. He is the God of peace. He will protect your minds and your hearts when you focus on Him. There's our lesson. Where is your focus? Are you so entwined with the tentacles of worry that you're forgetting to turn your focus to God and His good and true and right words? It is possible with God to turn your focus from worry to peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for who You are and what You have done in my life. Yet I thank You that You are bigger than I am, that You have it figured out and under control. And God, as these worries creep up, help me to remember to turn my focus off of myself and to You. And God, I pray this for each and every person here, that when the concerns and worries of life feel so overwhelming, God, that we would look to You, that we would see You for who You are, God, that You are in control. Thank You. In Your name, amen.